Thank you, Phil. Hello? Hello? Are we on? Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, would you please turn to Proverbs chapter 12? Proverbs chapter 12, that will be where we first head to. But I'll open in prayer first of all. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us all the guidance that we need to have that life that is pleasing in your eyes, to have a family that is honouring to you. Lord, we fall, but I pray that you may use these messages to encourage and help us. That Father, we will build up godly habits and, Lord, dismiss those ungodly ones. That Father, we would be continually be refined to be more like you, both in our homes, in our personal lives, and also within our church fellowship as well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Makers and breakers. That's the topic today in the home. In the sporting field, there are what you call makers and breakers. If you look at footy, if you continually kick behinds, that is a breaker. There are certain things that you can't do continually and expect to have success. If in the first half your team has kicked 18 behinds and no goals, don't expect to win. All right? That's a breaker on the sporting field. But if everyone has got their eye in and their kicking boots on and every goal attempt is a goal, and you've got 18 goals and no behinds, that's a maker, all right? You're in a good position to be able to win the game. And there are some things that you need to do regularly and consistently if you want success. Doesn't matter if it's the sporting field or business or the home as well. There are some things you just can't do continually without it having a devastating effect on your family. Doesn't mean we don't sometimes act like this, but you can't continually act like this without it affecting your family. While there are other things you need to consistently be doing if you want to make your family what it should be. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the makers and breakers in the home that apply to each individual within the home. And we saw that fathers, they need to regularly be teaching their children, regularly correcting, regularly being that example. They are the makers within the home for a father with his children. Do these things consistently, and it will make a big difference to your children. We saw that husbands need to rejoice in the wife of their youth. They also need to make their wife blessed or happy. That'll have a big difference with your relationship with your wife if you do that. Well, we saw that husbands aren't to go to other fountains. They aren't to commit adultery. They are some of the breakers within a home. When it comes to the women, we saw that you're not to be contentious, nagging, or a strange woman. These are breakers. While you need to be gracious, prudent, virtuous, these are the makers within a home. And then if you look at the children, we saw that you are to listen to instruction, you're to have wise friends, these are the makers. And then the breakers are you're not to rebel or to be lazy or to have ungodly friends. That's what destroys a home. And so these are some of the makers and breakers within a family for the individuals. Today, though, I want to look at makers and breakers that everyone has a responsibility for, and I'm primarily looking at the way that we talk to one another. Everyone talks within a home, but there are makers and breakers when it comes to talking. Found it interesting that the last hymn before the message was "The Fight Is On." Now, that's not what it's meant to be. That is a breaker, all right, when it comes to the way we talk. But Have a look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And we see here, God makes it very clear that the way that we talk to one another can actually be a form of encouragement, or it can be very destructive. There are times our words can pierce like the sharpest sword. And these type of words are family breakers. You can't speak to one another regularly like this and expect to have a godly home or a happy home. When mum and dad speak to each other like this, when brothers and sisters speak to one another like this, when children speak to their parents or parents speak to their children like this, you will end up with a very unhappy, very contentious, a very resentful, hurt, bitter home if that's how you regularly act. These are breakers. Well, we see here there is a way that we can speak to one another that brings health to one another. It actually makes us have a healthy home. And so, first of all, what I would like to do is look at some of the breakers, the way that we speak. And please remember, if you find or you notice that you are speaking like this, understand that you are actively destroying your home. That's what it means. It doesn't matter if you're the father or the mother or the children, you are actively destroying your home. And so it's something that needs to stop on your part. So let's have a look at some. First of all, Proverbs 29, verse 20. Proverbs 29, verse 20, and here we have hasty words. Hasty words. It says, Proverbs 29, 20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him." Now that's bad. It basically, Proverbs talks about the fool. Now this one says, there's more hope for a fool than someone who's hasty in his words. So you're sort of, that's sort of lower than a fool. Someone who is hasty in their words. I've told you this before, but as a teenager, my parents gave me a mug, and they told me that I had to drink out of that mug all the time. And because it had a little saying on it that they hoped would slowly sink in. And it said, "Make sure your brain is in gear before putting mouth into action." All right? And because I had, and I still do at times, have that tendency to speak without thinking. And it was only after I said something that I realized it was hurtful or inappropriate. And because of that, I got into a lot of strife. I made my sister very sad very often. And I upset my parents quite a bit as well. And so they hoped that that mug, "Make sure your brain is in gear before putting your mouth into action," might help a little bit. Well, that's what it's talking about. Someone who speaks before they actually think. Now, I guess if you're only thinking good things, that's probably a good thing. You're just going to spew out nice things. But generally, that's not the way where we go. You know, in Proverbs 29, verse 11, that same chapter, it says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." A fool just says what they are thinking. And so, if you find at home that you're very quick to criticize, very quick to point out everybody else's faults, very quick to argue a point, very quick to make fun of others, that you just think of something and then you say it, well then, these are the words of a fool. Worse than a fool. And it is a family breaker. God's word, Proverbs, tells us how to help in this situation. If you turn over to Proverbs 13, verse 3, we read this: "He that keepeth his mouth," or guards his mouth, "keepeth his life. but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So the first thing to help solve this problem is to guard your mouth. Actually, stop letting things come out of your mouth, the words. Stop the flow of words. I know as a young man in my 20s, I still had a very bad problem like this. I would go to church rehearsing in my head, don't say anything. All right? Think of what you say before you say it. All right? Because I didn't want to say anything that was hurtful. You have to actually stop words coming out, guard it, and closely monitor what you're saying. But it goes on, if we have a look at Proverbs 16, verse 23, we have this. Proverbs 6:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. That's interesting. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. That means you find out what is hurting others, what you're doing to hurt others, or what people don't appreciate. That might take asking your spouse, asking your children, ask your parents, ask your friends, whoever it is, and then start guarding yourself not to say those things, but teaching yourself to say something different. If you find that you're very critical all the time, and that can be something that can just happen, it's a part of you, you need to assess the criticism, stop it, and think of something positive instead. It's training. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. How often have you tried to teach your mouth to say the right things? It just doesn't come natural for most. You have to train yourself to do that. You know, it says in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Do you find that you're just causing a lot of troubles wherever you go, upsetting people, causing frustrations for people? It could be because of your words. You're not actually guarding your mouth and training it to say the right thing. So the first thing is hasty words. Don't think, say, well, that's how I am, I can't help it. All you're saying is, I'm a fool and I can't help it. That's what basically God's word's saying. No, you can help it. And God says, if you're wise, you will train your lips. That's the first thing. Next one is found in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. These are harsh answers. It may not be what you say, but how you respond. Harsh answers. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous, that is hurtful or nasty words, stir up anger. One thing I do like about my house is the heating system. You know, you can turn this little knob and you can make it cool in the house, or you can turn it up and make it hot. That's fantastic. Doesn't matter what the temperature is outside, you can control what the temperature is on the inside. What a blessing to have that. All right. But you know, this also applies to our homes. You may not be able to control the temperature at work or around other people, but you can control the temperature within your home. And it's controlled by the way you talk to one another. You know, if you want things to heat up in your household, all you have to do is say certain words or speak in a certain way, and the temperature rises within the home, doesn't it? And the way to cool it down, God says, is by how you respond to those words. Someone can say something that rises the temperature, and then you can respond, and it's like getting the dial and turning it right up. Or you can actually respond in a manner that turns it right down. We get to choose that. Isn't it true that the way we answer someone can make such a difference? You know, when you're asked a question, your response can be, what? Or what was that? Just that alone can change everything. If you get asked to do something, you can say, I'm just too busy. Or, sorry, I'm a bit busy at the moment. Just leave it a while, or whatever. That just the tone, the way you say something, can change everything. You know, one thing I've noticed in our house, as well as here in this church, when it comes to the heating system, some people like it cool, some people like it hot, a bit hotter. And so what happens is someone will go and turn it down, and then someone will go and turn it up, and then someone will go and turn it down again. It happens here at church, I'm aware of that, and it happens at our house as well. And that's okay, everyone's a little bit different, but it does tend to happen when it comes to the climate within the house as well. Someone's in a dirty mood. Someone's having a bad day, and so the way they speak is harsh, they're snappy, they're critical, they're just in a bad mood, and it's like they've got their hand on that temperature gauge and they're just putting it up. I just want things to be hot today. Now, how you respond, God says, can either cool it down or make it hotter. It comes down to how you respond. Now, I should add, there are times when people speak and they are actually stirring things, they're hurting people, but they don't even realize it. You know, sometimes you don't even realize that the way you're speaking or what you're saying is causing offense. And what you need to do is work out, when you're speaking, how are people reacting? And if they're reacting in the wrong way, that gives you a good idea that maybe the way you're speaking isn't right and you need to change. And if people say to you that the way you are speaking is grievous, well, believe them and work at changing. If people are saying that your tone is hurtful or your attitude is hurtful in the way you're speaking, even though you may not think you're doing that, listen and work at changing so that you don't stir when there's no need. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. It happened to me this morning. I'll dob him in. Peter Roberts. Happened. I walked past Peter and I looked at him and because I thought he was going to ask me a question, and then I walked and he goes, what was that look about? I'm like, didn't happen, Peter. Happens all the time to me. I have discovered I have this face where if I'm not smiling, I look angry. I'm sorry about that. I'm telling you, inside I am generally happy. But I give looks. People say I gave them a death stare when I'm not giving any stare. It's probably a nothing stare, all right? But I promise you, I do not give death stares on purpose, all right? I don't do any of that. But I know I walk past Alicia or my kids and they go, what was that look for? There was no look. I promise. You look like you're angry. I'm not angry. I promise. All right? It happens. I have a face that looks angry unless I'm smiling. All right? That's really hard to walk around smiling all the time. I'm sorry. But that's probably the only way around it. But people have that with their tone as well. They speak in a manner that sounds aggressive or angry even when you're not. And you think, why are you having a go at me? And you say, I'm not having a go at you. Well, your tone sounds like it. Now, if I have to walk around smiling all the time, maybe you need to start working on the tone, all right, and trying to tone it down or whatever you've got to do. But that happens. We may think we're being soft in our answer even, but maybe it's not. If we're committed to our family and having a happy family, we should be willing to accept when others say, hey, your tone or the way you're saying it is hurting me, and seek to change. Because sometimes we hurt when we don't even realize it. And so there are the nasty or the harsh answers, the nasty words. But there's another one that God's word talks about that I think is often missed, but it is just as hurtful. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. I'll read it and then I'll tell you what it is. Verse 18. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? This is unkind jesting. The New Testament calls it foolish jesting. Verse 19 says, it's talking about someone who deceives his neighbor. The word deceive there means to hurt in some way. And so he deceives his neighbor or friend. And how does he respond? He says, am not I in sport? That means to laugh or to mock. And so basically what it is he says something or does something mean and then says, hey, I was only joking. I'm only mucking around. Okay? We all know what that is. God's word says that the person who does that is just as bad as a madman. They are the same. Now, how is a madman and someone who does something and says, hey, I'm only mucking around, how are they the same? Well, let me explain to you. If I went outside after church, got your nice car, poured petrol all over it and lit it up, it's on fire, and then I say, hey, I was only mucking around, it wouldn't make any difference, would it? You'd think I'm a madman. All right? It wouldn't matter if I'm crazy or just joking around. It would still have the same effect on you, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be happy that I've just lit up your car. As it says there, firebrands or arrows. If I got my bow and arrow, which is a fairly deadly one, and I got it and lined you up and went, and it went straight into your chest, all right? And you're standing there, and then I go, hey, I was only joking, all right? It doesn't matter if I'm a madman doing that or I was just joking. It still has the same effect. You've got an arrow in your chest and it really hurts and it's probably going to kill you. And it's the same effect. It doesn't matter if I say something hurtful to you and then say, hey, I was only mucking around, or if I'm a crazy person who says something hurtful to you, it has the same effect. It hurts you. And so the reality is, if you take out your frustration on somebody by making fun of them, or if you entertain yourself and others by making fun of somebody else, it still hurts them, regardless of the motive behind it. Your words, as we read here, pierce like a sword, and it hurts. And so just like stabbing someone in the chest with a sword and then saying, hey, I'm only mucking around, it's just for a joke, doesn't actually change the outcome. So too, if I say something that hurts you, just saying, hey, I'm just mucking around, it's just a joke, it doesn't change the outcome. It still hurts. And often we forget. Foolish jesting, cutting words, destroys a family. And I think we're probably the more prone to do it within a family than anywhere else, and then it spreads out. But this is a family breaker. If you say, oh, in our family, we just pay each other out all the time, and it doesn't matter if we hurt, well, you may do that, but I'll guarantee there are hurts involved. I know that with our family. Okay? And so a family who consistently jokes and hurts one another in that is not going to be a godly family. It can't work. God says it doesn't work. There's no problem with having jokes and mucking around. But if it causes offense and hurts, well, then it only destroys. And so if you get hurt by someone's jesting at home or even here at church, you need to let them know it actually hurts you. So they know they need to change, because that sort of jesting is wrong. It's not godly. And so that's another one to consider as a breaker, a talebearer. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, often we think that gossiping or talebearing is telling the secrets or the negative things about others within the church, or maybe at work or with friends. Now, that is true. You know, sharing the sensitive information that doesn't need to be shared about others is gossiping. But often we forget that it also applies to family. You know, believe it or not, children, your mum and dad are humans. Right? They're real people. Okay? And we need to understand that our parents are people, our children are people, our brothers and sisters are people, our spouse is a real person. And they get just as hurt by gossiping and talebearing. It says in Proverbs 11:13, he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, my family know all, I'd say all, most of my faults. They know all my inconsistencies. They know my mistakes. They know a lot of my sins as well. Just like your family knows most of them about you. If we're to be faithful and not be a talebearer, it should start at home and then make its way out in that. You know, when a man repeats all the negative things about his wife, or a wife repeats all the negative things about her husband and the family, these are family breakers. You know, we're told in Proverbs 17:9, he that repeateth a matter separateth friends. And that's a good way to break friendships, by repeating those things. But that is a very good way to break that oneness within a marriage as well, or within a family also. We shouldn't gossip about our family, and we shouldn't gossip about anyone. So these are some of the breakers. You are consistently doing these things, you're not going to have a happy home. I'll guarantee it, because God guarantees it. If you are regularly hasty in your words, if you are regularly being nasty to one another and reacting in a nasty way, if you are regularly joking in an unkind manner, if you are regularly gossiping, well, then you won't have a God-pleasing happy home. Now, when it comes to makers, the obvious thing would be the opposite, first of all, wouldn't it? How do you make a godly home? Well, you consistently think before you speak. You consistently use kind words and respond in a kind way, and you don't gossip. But there are a couple of other things. Turn to Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Isn't that true? When you're sad, you just stoop. You can see it in people. But a good word maketh it glad. You know, it amazes me when you see a bird injured and all the other birds around the place just want to pick on it. It's like it takes advantage of it being weak. Now, I'm not sure why they do that. It doesn't make sense to me. But one thing I am sure of is it really doesn't make sense when there is someone within the home that is stooping and everyone decides to pick. It could be physically weak. It could be mentally weak. It could be spiritually weak. And everyone just wants to pick on them. Now, it is true. If someone is stooping and is sad due to sin in their life, and an unwillingness to repent of their sin, I'm not saying that you just cover it all over and pretend it's not there. In fact, until there is true repentance where they get right with God and their fellow man, they are actually the enemy of God. And you don't want to be against God. You want to be on His side. And so you need to be encouraging them to get right with God and their fellow man and to truly repent. And so you comfort and encourage in that way. But once there is true repentance, comfort. Don't keep reminding them of their faults. When someone comes and asks you to forgive them, forgive and then encourage. Don't keep reminding. That's like the birds coming down and pick, 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 pick. Now you encourage instead. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. How good are you at doing, just sharing good words of encouragement with others in the family? You know, there are a couple of other things. Proverbs 31:26. This is talking about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Two things there. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Where is true wisdom found? God's word. You know, God's word should be a place where it is referred to, where it is repeated, where you want to wisdom, well then, use God's word. You know, God says this. You know, God has said that we should be doing that. That is a place where wisdom is found. That's a maker in the family when God's word is referred to. But it also says, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's not a piercing word that cuts, but it's a word that heals. I was trying to think of what if some words pierce like a sword. Well, I was trying to think of what does words heal like a. A Band-Aid. No, I don't think Band-Aid's a good idea. I don't know. My mum used to always, no matter what sore or cut you had, Savlon. All right? I don't know if there's Savlon's still today, but boy, you just look at something, put Savlon on it. All right? It's meant to be a healing thing. All right? So our words at least should be, heal like Savlon. Right? Or whatever you use. But it should bring healing, not piercing. And you know, when we consistently have words like this, when we consistently encourage one another, we share God's wisdom, we are kind, we don't gossip and we speak well, that brings a home when it's consistent to be a happy home. So the question is, what sort of player, if you want to think of the sporting field, are you in your home? You know, in a team, you generally find some who are just positive. They bring a positiveness to the team. They have a positive effect on the team. While there are others that are just negative. We're never going to win. You're hopeless. And you think, will you just close that mouth of yours unless there's something positive? Well, in the family, what sort of player are you? Are you someone that has a positive effect on the family by your words or a negative effect? Are you one who consistently has makers or breakers in your family? Well, you can start today by dishing out some makers instead of breakers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know from James, the epistle of James, that, Lord, our tongue is so hard to control. Yet when it is out of control, it causes so much devastation, worse than a fire. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the grace to control it and to harness it and bridle it so that, Father, we may use it for good rather than for evil. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.